Hello, church. Do you know, today really is the strangest of Palm Sundays. There's nobody here in the church building to worship the Lord with me. There's no palm fronds being waved by the children, no palm crosses being made either. The place seems empty. But in a sense, you know, because of this, we have the opportunity to make this Palm Sunday one that really helps us to engage with the whole of Holy Week, the whole of Easter. We have the space, perhaps even the time, to think about the events of this week, this day. Perhaps like we have never dreamed of doing before. The reflections that you've received throughout Lent will continue this week as we ponder the significance of what happened 2,000 years ago. As we remember the journey that Jesus took through Palm Sunday and the week ahead to Good Friday and, of course, Easter Sunday. So today is the start of Holy Week. Today we remember how Jesus entered Jerusalem to great crowds cheering. He came in an unexpected way. He didn't come to overthrow the Roman oppressors. He didn't come to judge the world. He didn't come as was expected. Jesus, the Messiah, comes to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. The crowds were shouting, "Hosanna!" That's what happened on this first Palm Sunday. So let's look at the timeline of the rest of Holy Week. On Monday of Holy Week, we read in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 to 19, that Jesus cursed a fig tree. And then he went on and he cleansed the temple. He kicked out all those who were buying and selling and the moneylenders. Then on Tuesday, Mark 11, verse 20 through to chapter 13 and verse 37, we read about Jesus telling more parables and some controversial stories, as well as other teachings. It's in here that we read about the two greatest commandments that we've been studying for the last, 6 weeks. On the Wednesday of Holy Week, we hear in Mark 14, verses 1 to 11 about Jesus being anointed at Bethany. But it's here too that we read about the treachery of Judas. Then on Thursday, Mark 14, 12 to 72 tells us about the preparation for the Passover, the Last Supper. Then into the Garden of Gethsemane. The arrest of Jesus and the trial of the temple. Then, of course, Friday brings us to the trial before Pilate, the condemnation of Jesus, where another crowd gathered. No longer were they shouting Hosanna, this time they shouted Crucify. And finally, we read about his crucifixion, his death, and his burial. This is what is written in Mark 15. On Saturday, Jesus, the Saviour of the world, is in the grave. He's dead and buried. But the story does not end with the burial. In all of this, we must remember that we are fortunate people. Why so? Because we know that in all of this, Sundays are coming. And so it dawns. Easter Sunday. And nothing will ever be the same again. In Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 20, we read about the resurrection. The pivotal moment in our faith. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. But this year, more than any other year, let's all remember, Sundays are coming. This year, more than any other year, remember the hope of Easter Sunday. But for now, let's go back to that first Palm Sunday. And actually, as we start, let's go back a little further. Some 500 years before any of this took place, the prophet Zechariah had prepared the people for a coming king. Zechariah 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And then it comes to pass. Let's read from Scripture together. Our reading today is Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. You see, Holy Week begins here on Palm Sunday, and it begins with a praise parade. The people gathered together and laid out their coats as a path, and they cheered and they celebrated, waving palm branches and shouting and singing praise to Jesus. Why? Because of what they'd seen, because of what they'd heard. They'd seen the miracles of Jesus, they'd heard about them, and they rejoiced. Can you imagine who was in that crowd that day? I wonder if the blind man was there now that he could see. I wonder if the lame man who was stuck at the pool of Bethesda was there too. What about the woman who'd been bent over for so many years? I wonder if any who had been healed by Jesus were there. There because of what they'd experienced themselves. I wonder. There was a euphoria amongst the people who'd gathered there that day. It was a Passover celebration and people came from all over. Maybe some just got caught up in the crowd and joined in with what was going on. You know, sometimes our own praise can be a catalyst to others too. This is what happened to Paul and Silas, who created their own praise parade, if you like, when they were put in prison. More of that later. So I wonder, on Palm Sunday, were the crowds there just because of what they'd seen, or just because of what they'd heard, or just because of what they'd experienced? Or were they wondering, maybe there's more to come? What might we see now? They didn't know what was coming, but Jesus did. He was preparing for the cross. The words the crowd shrieked in delight that day, "Hosanna," which means, "Lord, save us." Those words were going to be fulfilled, but not in the way they'd expected. You know, for them as for us, God has always answered our prayers, just not always in the way we expect. But he has a plan, and he will always bring the victory. And we, his people, must learn to praise him even before the victory happens. Not just get swept along with the euphoria of the moment, but praise him even in our darkest days. No matter what trials, what temptations come our way, we must trust God. We must trust God even when all around us is despair, even in the midst of our blackest days. Trust Him, because we know that no matter what, His way is the right way, the only way, the victory way. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." So praise God, no matter what goes on, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the trial, because even in the darkness of Friday, we must always remember Sunday's eternity. Did you know that there are many other praise parades in Scripture? What about Jericho? Joshua 6, verses 7 to 8 and verse 20 tell us, "And he ordered the army, advance, march round the city with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. When the trumpet sounded," this is verse 20 now, "when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city." Then there was the praise parade led by King Jehoshaphat. We read about this in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 20 to 22. "Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful.' After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever.' As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, those who were invading Judah, and they were defeated." We talked a few moments ago about Paul and Silas. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 26 tells us about this. "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose." It goes on to tell us in that story that even though all of the doors and all of the chains fell off, those prisoners stayed there to the land, every one of them. And when you think back to the days of the Exodus and after settling in the Promised Land, we read that the Israelites would go out with the Ark of the Covenant at the head, and they would be praising God. And you know, this is relevant because we too are called to be a people of praise. So I want to ask, are you praising God this Palm Sunday? Are you praising God despite what is going on in the world? Are you praising God despite what is going on in your life? Are you praising God even though we're now a year into the grip of a pandemic? 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." And Psalm 34 verse 1 reminds us of what we should do. It says, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." Then in Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 3 we read, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. Today is Palm Sunday. Today is a day to remind us that we should praise God with all that we are. The week ahead of Jesus was a crazy week. Those shouting Hosanna today would be among those shouting Crucify Him on Friday. Friday, Good Friday, seems to be the darkest day. Friday seems like evil has won. Friday seems like there is no hope. But no matter what is going on, we must remember it may be Friday, but Sundays are coming. We must choose to live as Palm Sunday praisers in a week that leads not just to Friday, but to Easter Sunday. We must choose to praise God, not just on Sunday, but right through the week, right through Friday, and on to Sunday again. This year, as we come to Holy Week, let us spend time thinking about what Jesus has done for us. About the relationship that this week means we can have with the Son of God and through him, the Father. Let us praise his name, not just on Palm Sunday, but in all the days of our lives, even when we don't feel like it, even when our trials are pressing in on us, even when it's Friday and it feels like evil wins. For Palm Sunday leads into Holy Week, to Good Friday. But never forget, the week that started with a praise party doesn't end with the Messiah in a grave. It ends with the biggest celebration, the biggest praise party of all. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus has conquered death. Death, where is your sting? Hallelujah. And so may the words of Scripture be on our lips this week and always. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. As we think on these things, as we meditate this week on all that Holy Week means, as we remember what Jesus went through for us, for you and for me, I'd like to read you a meditation. It's a meditation written as a sermon by a man called S.M. Lockridge. Some of you may have heard of him. He wrote a sermon, also another one, called That's My King, which is absolutely beautiful. You can find it on YouTube if you have a mind to do so. Well, he wrote this as well. It's called Sundays Are Coming. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walk into Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Saviour's hands to the cross. They nail my Saviour's feet to the cross. And they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost, death has won, sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried, a soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. Sundays are coming. Isn't that beautiful? Never, ever lose hold of that fact. Sundays are coming. Jesus is coming. As we come now to the end of our service, let us pray together. Lord God, thank you for what we've heard today. Thank you that Palm Sunday is a precursor to the praise, the worship, and the adoration of our risen Saviour on Easter Sunday. Thank you that you have won the victory. Thank you that death has been defeated, that sins can be forgiven, and we can have a relationship with you that is like no other. Lord, may your praise ever be on our lips. May we praise your name in all that we do and in all that we say. Thank you, Father, that we can praise you in the valley and the mountaintop. Lord, may we be Palm Sunday praisers and Easter Sunday worshippers. May we live in hope through the dark days too, knowing that because of Easter Sunday, you have already won the victory for us, so that we may truly become Easter people, resurrection people, Jesus-shaped people who praise you with all of our lives. And may all who see us and all who know us see your victory in us. Praise your name.